You made a decision today, and you're bringing life everywhere you go. And so that's very important. You know, Jesus, we're going to get to the end of that song, the song we just got through singing a couple of songs ago. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Y'all know that song? You know that scripture? That's actually in the Bible. It really is. And we're going to talk about that today. And you know, we've been talking about something. I'm a little one step behind, but I'm three steps ahead. So that makes me two steps ahead, right? There we go. I'm turning everything on as we speak. You know, we all live lives. We all live lives. And every day we live, we get up, we do what we do. It's just like, it's almost like our lives become sort of normal, humdrum. We expect something every day. If you come to Grace, to church, you expect something in worship. It's just sort of like our lives. But you realize this, that every once in a while, we run into something and our lives are forever changed after that. There are epiphanies, there are moments, there are things that happen that literally change the course of our lives. And I believe that if God's heart is that for many of us today, this is one of those days. And what we've been talking about in our vision statement is we create opportunities for people to encounter God and experience unconditional love. That's a wonderful statement, isn't it? It's beautiful. But I want you to focus on that one part, encounter God. Releasing them to live joyful, purposeful lives. And now, right now, we're speaking on being purposeful. And last time I spoke, I talked about the only way to experience joy is to live with purpose. Like, there's no way you can have joy in your life without purpose. But we need to define purpose. And I believe today a lot of us are living lives without a deep sense. Purpose, here was the definition of it I came up with, the closest I could find. Purpose is a deep personal sense. It's a deep sense inside of yourself that you have meaning. That there is a purpose. There's meaning to your life. You aren't just existing. You're not just just like a tree that grows and then dies and just goes back into the earth. You have a purpose and you have meaning. So to have a purpose, it's a deep personal sense that your life has meaning and a feeling that life is worth living. It's hard to define that. But today, if you're here today, And really, you can't say, I really don't know my purpose. I'm just sort of paying the bills. I'm just doing the stuff. I'm just existing. I'm just surviving in this mess. But purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. And I really don't have a deep sense in my heart, a deep personal sense of meaning. And, you know, if you don't have purpose, there's something I've noticed, because God created us this way. You know, you guys know these verses. They're very familiar. God knit us together in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were ever born. That God Himself hand-designed each one of us perfectly to fit into the life that we were born into. And that with purpose and meaning. And we'll look at that. But what happens? What's it like if you don't have a deep sense of purpose? What if today you really don't know your purpose? I mean, yeah, you got to pay the bills. You have to take care of family. You have to, there's a lot of have-tos and supposed-tos and shoulds. But do you know your purpose? Really, you can leave here today with knowing your purpose. And it'll change your life. It'll give you an encounter with God that brings joy and peace and definition and power into your life. So here's some things, what it looks like. If you really don't know your purpose, you really aren't going to have a very good sense of self-worth. You're not. you're not going to have a good self-esteem because you don't know. You'll feel like you're not needed or wanted. You'll feel like you don't matter. You're going to feel these feelings. It's like, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. You fill in the blank. If you know your purpose, these feelings go away. If you know the purpose. Without a sense of purpose, you don't have a motivation to take care of yourself physically. You don't have a motivation without a sense of purpose. Why should you go to the trouble? Listen, I don't know about you guys, but I do not like the pain I feel when I exercise. I can live without that for the rest of my life. I love sweets, and I love ice cream, and every kind of cake there is, except for lemon cake. I love cake, but something drives me. There's a motivation inside of me to exercise, besides to keep this beautiful body. I have a greater motivation than that, right? There's a reason I wear long sleeve shirts and long pants. I'm going to stop right there because some of you work out and some of you don't. But you don't have a motivation for self-care without a purpose. It's a great theory. We all agree with it. We think it's wonderful. Let's do it. But there's not anything in you that gives you the power to do what you want to do. There's no motivation. Listen, without a purpose, you don't have any hope that things are going to be different in the future. What you've been, what you've experienced, the tree you've been going around, you're just going to keep going around it. Without a purpose, you become hopeless. You have a sense of powerlessness and fatigue. You have an underlying sense of, what's the use? Well, Alan, all of this comes from purpose. I'm going to show you it does. You see, the truth is, every single one of us were born. We were created with a very, very, very noble, powerful, great purpose in our life. We just don't know it. We just don't know. But we were all created with a purpose. Sometimes, isn't this funny? I've seen this. Sometimes not knowing your purpose turns into full-blown panic attacks. I don't know why. That's way over my head, my pay grade, but it just happens. Turns into panic. It turns into anxiety and all those kinds of things. Without knowing your sense of purpose, you'd feel alone. Worst feeling in the world. You feel like nobody cares if you exist or not. If you don't know your purpose, that's a hard place to be. It's a hard, hard, hard place to be. And you feel like nobody cares if you exist. I mean, you don't know why you exist, so why would anybody else care if you exist? So what's the use? What's it matter? And you believe that you don't have anything of value to offer to others. You feel like you don't have anything of value to give to others. Some of us feel that way, or we're struggling with that. Did you know that not knowing your purpose, not having a purposeful life, is what creates that in your life? It's not other people, it's you. So how important is what we're talking about? How important is this? And I just want you to notice in the vision statement, we actually put in the vision statement how to find your purpose. It's in the vision statement. There's only one way to find your purpose, and it's through having encounters with God. It's through a relationship with Jesus. And I want to show you that today. I want you to see, because Jesus, He knew us, right? You guys know these verses. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. That's a great theory. But what if you don't believe it? You see, I came to a place in my life when I was 24 years old, real young, where I began to believe that Jesus really was the way, the truth, and the life, and no other. I began to believe that He was the mountain we could build our lives on, that He was this foundation that we could build on our whole lives. I came to believe that. I came to experience that in my own life in a new way I'd never experienced before. And I dedicated my life to that. I really do believe it. And I think back into those times, and I believe this verse, Romans 8:28. It's a beautiful verse. For we know, I bet my life on it, that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. But, there's a big but. Sorry. I just saw big butts in my mind and I looked at Tracy Dolan and I'm like, I'm sorry. Tracy, I meant big shoulders. I meant big shoulders. That's what I was thinking. Whoo, got out of that one. But the problem was I kept running into people who it wasn't true for. It wasn't true. Wasn't true. They didn't find freedom. They didn't find hope. They didn't find peace. They didn't find purpose. And it's funny what happened to me. I believe this is true. I don't know why this is one of my favorite scriptures. I really don't know why. Matthew 4:16. The people. Now, y'all know it's a prophecy from Isaiah about our coming of the Savior, of Messiah, of Jesus. And it says in verse 16, in the middle of that, it says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He turned the world upside down. He brought a new way of living into the world, a new covenant, a new power source that the world had never seen before. And you know, He did. It's funny. He became the light in the world. He became the light of the world. And I believe when Jesus came, and it says in Ephesians, before anything was ever created, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one, three separate but all one, those God Himself made a decision that He was going to, His heart, His purpose for you and for me, His purpose for all creation was so that we could be one with Him. So He could come and live inside of humanity. He became man. He had a purpose. It was very clear. And before He ever created anything in the cosmos, God said, listen, Jesus, I have this plan. I'm going to create man. And I'm going to create them in love. And I want you to lay down your life and to die and rise again, right? So that we can have fellowship, we can be in unity, we can be in relationship, literally we can become one. And Jesus, I think, had a laser-focused vision on that before anything was created. His purpose was to make that possible so that you and I could have a relationship, could be one, could be in unity, be in harmony with God Himself. That's the purpose. And Jesus, I think His focus on earth, when He came to earth, it was like He just had a bullseye on that. And you cannot knock Him off of this one thing. It's not about anything else except for relationship with you. That's what He lived for and died for and rose again for. It's to be in you, to be in relationship with you. You know, it's, and why do we need him? You know, so I really can't tell you for a fact. I think 24 years ago, it's funny, we've been on this journey. We've been on this journey. I never dreamed in 1,000 years, I never dreamed that my life would end up like this. Not a pastor. I became a pastor. I dreamed being a pastor. But I never dreamed I'd spend half of my time sitting in a room with broken and hurting people, some of you guys, me, myself. I never dreamed I'd be sitting across the table from, or sitting and sitting with a young woman who's crying and broken and desperate and hopeless and doesn't believe she has any reason to live in this world, that I'd be sitting with her, and she loves Jesus, but I'd be sitting with her who has given up hope, who doesn't believe she has any purpose for being on this world. Now, I believe she does. And I never dreamed I'd be sitting in this room, sitting in my chair, usually leaning back, arguing with the most stubborn person I've ever met about how wonderful they are, and they're convinced they're scum. They're convinced it's hopeless. They're convinced that they don't deserve to ever. And we argue and we argue and we argue. And you know what? The truth is, I'm not arguing here. I have one purpose. If I can bring you into an encounter with God, you're going to be changed. Jesus didn't come to bring dark to darkness. He came to bring light to darkness. If you say you're bad, he says you're good. If you say you're thirsty, he gives you a drink and he becomes the living water. You see, it's like, I never dreamed I would be doing that. I am not a counselor type person. And I do it for hours in the last 20 years. Not just me. A lot of you do it too. But I've done it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And my heart breaks and I'm compassionate for them. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do other than one thing. If they can have an encounter with Jesus, they'll be set free from depression. They'll be put back together from brokenness. They'll be lifted up out of the gutter. And it happens every time. You know why? Because I'm so smart. Wrong. Because I know him. And I've got one goal. I've got one purpose. When I sit down with somebody like that, with me or you or anybody, I have one purpose: for you to have an encounter with Jesus. Well, aren't you trying to talk them into or convince them of? Absolutely not. I'm trying to get them to have an encounter with Jesus. And you know how I do that? By me having encounters with Jesus. It's like, well, is there anything else besides encounters with Jesus? Is there anything else on God's mind besides being one with you? Now, I said that very intentionally. Does God himself have anything else on his mind for you than him being one with you? He does not. That's what's on his mind. Well, but what about how much money I make? What about how I raise my children? What about my destiny, my purpose? Hello? Are you catching on? You know what your purpose is? It's the same purpose Jesus had before he came to earth, when he was on earth, and now that he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, ruling and reigning. And guess who's seated with him? He said, you are. You see, his purpose is one thing, and that's that we could be one with him the way he's one with the Father and Holy Spirit, and they could be one with us the way that they're one with each other. That's the purpose of our life, is a relationship with him. Well, what good will that do me? Everything. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Where does wisdom come from? Where do you think the technology we love and exist in, where do you think that comes from? Oh, mankind. And mankind with Jesus is where everything comes from. You want to feel loved? Be one with him. Have encounters with him. And if you can't, find somebody as stubborn as I am who won't give up on you. Because I won't. You're going to have an encounter with him if it's over my dead body. You're going to have an encounter with him. And I've got this really thick Cro-Magnon forehead. It's really, really, because I've hit heads with you guys forever. I think Chris Hoffman was the worst I've ever had. But the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus came with this great light. And when I first started this church, and the only people in this room, the only people in Grace Fellowship at all, the only people that were here when I started it was Jeannie, Daniel, Matthew, or who are hiding in the sound booth, and Rick Halter. That's the only four people I haven't killed in the last 24 years or however long. I was going to ask Rick how long it's been. He probably could figure it out because he had 12 children at that time, and you know how you'd space children by ages. But when I first started Grace, the Holy Spirit, I felt like He just put on my heart. I preached Luke 4:14 for maybe 6 months. Honestly, did not have a clue what it was saying. I didn't know that the purpose was in there. I want you to read that with me. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Where did Jesus get His power from? Where did all the miracles come from? Yeah, y'all say it out loud. It's like it's not a curse. It's a blessing. It's a promise. Where did Jesus get wisdom from? The Spirit. Where did He get miracles from? The Spirit. Where did He get His calling from God from? The Spirit. Everything Jesus did on earth, fully man and fully God, came to Him the same way it comes to us, through relationship with God. And you see, if you've got problems in your life, do you know where the answer comes from? Your relationship with Him. Do you want to see what you can't see? It's your relationship with Him. Do you want to grow into all the fullness that God's created for you? It's your relationship with Him. The Bible says Jesus had more joy than any other human ever. You know where that came from? He never broke His relationship with the Father. God has one purpose for you, and that's to have relationship with Him. And out of that comes every good and perfect gift. Out of that comes morality. Out of that comes conviction and commitment. Out of that relationship comes giving lots of money to Grace Fellowship so we can pay the bills. Not out of the law. The law does what? What did Paul say in Romans? The law kills. And the Spirit gives life. You see, it's very simple, your purpose is. You and I have the same purpose as Jesus had, and the purpose is not to be like Jesus, it's to live like He did. And out of that comes your being. Do you understand that? Does that make any sense at all? I mean, I know this is like, I'm going to tell you how big this is. It'll change your life. It'll change our world. Well, how do you know that? Well, Jesus did it 2,000 years ago, and it's still working. He changed the world as the only human on earth that could live in relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They were one. He lived that way as a human, and that life He lived changed our world. And every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Now, we haven't even got to the good stuff. I know worship was going on, and I was good with going on with it. I think we've discussed. I had some ideas as we were going. And you guys blessed me. I went and got stuff from people when Tim released us to give stuff. I was like, well, if it works for giving, it works for getting too. So I went and got. And I got. Here's what Jesus said. Notice the words. Jesus was never, sometimes I out-talk my brain. Often I do that. Jesus never out-talked His brain. He said a word. It was a right word, perfectly meant by Him. Jesus said, coming out of the desert, at the very beginning of His public ministry, at 30 years old, he walked into the temple. What a great coincidence. They picked out years in advance what Scripture would be read each Sabbath day in a temple, in the synagogue. Jesus happened to show up by accident on the day that this passage had been pre-picked years before to be read. Interesting, huh? Here's what Jesus read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. That says everything. His purpose for coming to the world was so that His Spirit, God the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, could habitate with us, could have a relationship with us, so we could have encounters with them. And Jesus said, this is the deal right here. Because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. You know what poor is? What does that mean? If you're lacking something, right? If you're poor, we think of poor with money. But you can be lacking anything, and that means you're poor. Well, do you know what good news to the poor is? Is to be given what you lack. Are you lacking anything? Does our society lack anything? For you guys into the news and stuff. Does your family lack anything? Where's the answer to your lack? It's Him. Jesus said, I've got good news for you. Nothing you lack won't be provided by the power of the Holy Spirit through your relationship with us, with me. And so if you're lacking, that's what happens. And then He said, He sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners. It's like a prisoner is anyone who's in bondage to anything. Now, I don't know. I don't want to know your bondages. I know some of them because I see them. I know some of my bondages. I'm good with that. But I want to tell you, what's the key to getting freedom from what you're in bondage to? And this word for freedom wasn't just a word like, you're set free. It was like the beginning of life. It's like, you're free now to begin having a relationship with me. And that's what's going to bring you life. That's why Paul said, guys, why if you've experienced freedom, would you go back into slavery again? When he was talking to the people wanting to go back into Jewish laws. He said, you've experienced freedom, but you can be a slave again if you want to. Because freedom comes from your relationship with Him. I think many of us become so accustomed to being Christians that we do it without a relationship. We do it without any kind of communication, without any kind of unity with the Father. We just be who we are, and we live this humdrum life, and we don't even realize that God had a purpose for us before we were ever born. And the purpose was to have that relationship with Him, and out of that relationship, streams of living water will flow out of you. So, and what does a blind person need to see? That's a no-brainer, huh? If you're blind, what do you need? Remember Jesus asked that blind guy. He said, what are you here for? The guy was obviously blind. He still asked him. You know what a blind person really needs? And I think this happens when I was thinking about this. There's a scripture. I think we're all living the best way we know how. Honestly. No matter where you're at, no matter how... where you're at, you're living the best way you know how. And then the Bible says there is a way that seems logical, that seems intelligent, that seems like wisdom to a man. But the end of that always leads to death. What leads to life? A relationship, unity, encounters, being one with Him. How often do you do that? How often do you have a relationship with Him? Now, we're going to talk about this a lot in the coming weeks, in the coming months, because I believe it's God has called us to this. I preached about this for months when we first started this church, and I didn't know why. I didn't even understand what I was saying. But God had something in His heart. He had something on His mind. And it's then this next one, set the oppressed free. Oppressed means just beaten down. You know that thing that life does to you? Just you try and you get up and you try and you get up and you should have got a raise but you didn't, and you know you did this but it didn't work out, and you've done this over and over again with your parents and it just still doesn't work, and my friends still treat me this way, and you just get to a place where you're just pushed down. You're just oppressed. And you know what happens when you begin to understand your purpose, your why for existing? The Bible says this, he sets the oppressed free. That word for free is the weirdest word I could imagine. It's the word apostello. It's the word we get apostle from. Not only does God bring you up out of your oppression, He commissions you with His authority to accomplish a mission. What? I just wanted to not be oppressed. But I'm just not going to be not be oppressed anymore. It reminds me of the parable Jesus told about the sons, the two sons, the one that went away and used all of his money on living righteously, whatever that word is, I can't think of it. But, you know, he blew it. He lived like a bum, and he ended up eating with the pigs. He goes home. He begs his dad to come back. Just let me be one of your servants because I'm starving out here, and your servants have it way better than I do. And the father said, kill the fattened calf, throw a party, bring the ring, the family ring of authority, and put a robe on him. Give him shoes. My son who was lost is home. You see, God doesn't want to set you free. He wants to set you free with a commission as a king, as a prince of the king. You're not just here. You are somebody. And you know that'll change your life when you realize the king himself handpicked you to represent him as an ambassador in this world, and he gave you his authority to live it out. That's who we are. That's who this is. Jesus said this. Then he said, he's here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I think one thing's really nice. We should begin to recognize and give God credit for His favor on our lives. I've got His favor on my life. Pops sold me a four-wheeler really cheap, and it works really well, and I didn't have to walk 6 miles in the swamp Saturday morning. That's favor of God on my life. You've got the favor of God on you. You've got good parents, you've got good kids, you've got a good house, it's the favor of God that Jesus brought with His life. And you know what? The same thing happens with you. So I want you to know this. Then He said this. He rolled the scroll up, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. Remember what they said? We've never heard someone preach like this before, because He doesn't just have words. He has power. He has the authority of God backing Him up. And Jesus said this today. Now this is for you. This is for you if you want it. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, God says you are somebody. Today, God says you have a purpose. And you know what your purpose is? It's twofold. We sang about it earlier. I'm going to preach on it and next time I preach. But your purpose is twofold. One is to tap into the water of life. I wish I had a million different words to describe what that looks like. But it's all by faith. Every time you think about Him, every time you ask Him a question, every time you trust Him, you're connecting with Him. God, what do I do about my kids? God, for me, it's every time I'm sitting with someone and I don't know how to fix them and they're broken and hurting and they're cutting themselves, so they're in a horrible place. I don't know. I have to ask the Lord. And guess what? Every time I ask Him, I'm having a relationship with Him. I'm getting a drink of water. And it's not just water. It's living water. What Jesus said 2,000 years ago still stands true today. If any man be thirsty, if any man is thirsty, if you're thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And what happens when you come to Him and drink? Out from within you will flow streams of living water. Do you want that? Streams of living water. John 7:38, right? That's where I was going to end today. I skipped a bunch because this is what really matters. I don't care if you understand or not. I don't care if you agree or not. It makes me no difference. What I do care about is you drinking the living water. Your purpose is to drink the living water. And when you drink the living water, out from within you will flow streams of living water that will change the world. See, our purpose is twofold. We drink and we give. We drink and we give. We drink and we give. And it can look a billion different ways. But if you want to have a good life, if you want to have joy, if you want to have peace, if you want to be excited about life, the way you do it is by drinking. It's relationship with Him. And you realize that's your purpose. Yeah, but I want another purpose. If you drink, you'll have a purpose. Right? I just had a terrible illustration in my head. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know what happens if you drink and you drink and you drink and you drink and you drink? Okay. Adults, don't say this. Children, you help me. What happens if you drink too much before you go to bed? Yeah, you guys, though, you have to go to the bathroom. Something's going to come out if you keep taking it in. That's your purpose. That's everyone's purpose. Now, the way it comes out of me is different than the way it comes out of you. And then my purpose becomes this. I want to create opportunities for others to encounter Him, to drink. I want to give them a drink. I want to give them a drink. And it's a beautiful purpose that's noble, honorable. It's righteous. Are you living that way? Is that your only purpose? Is that your only agenda? That's a way to live. Then you'll wake up and you'll be one of those people that have a purpose. You'll have a deep sense of meaning and excitement about your life. And you'll live that until it's time to go be home. Go home, be home with Him. But until that moment, you're important. You're valued. We need you. Your family needs you. Your business needs you. Our government really needs you. Right? So today, you can choose to change your life. You see, you thought it was going to fall from heaven. No, Jesus has already done His thing. He's already said this is true. Now, like Pastor Tim said it when he was transitioning, he was talking up here. He said it. It's here. It's available. We keep waiting for it to happen. It's in us. All right? I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about going on and talking some more about the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God to save the world and to save you, to save me. And we're going to talk about that some more. So let's all stand up. We're excited. Did you guys feel the presence of God during worship this morning? Y'all did? I did too. And I brought it. I was clapping with all my gusto I had, mostly sometimes on beat. And I was singing a new melody to the Lord you guys have probably never heard before, because I was worshiping Him. Let's worship Him with our lives. You know the greatest offering you ever make to God? The only one He wants. Your life as a living sacrifice. Have you made that decision? Is He really, how do you say it? Is He the apple of your eye? Do you have the same laser focus that Jesus had? He couldn't be knocked off track. Even when everybody turned their back on Him, Jesus kept His focus. He knew what He was doing. He believed God more than He believed anything man said. So have you made God, have you made Him, His presence in your life, His relationship, the number one focus of your life? It's where all life comes from. So let's just bow our heads and give the Lord a second. So I don't think you have to move or do anything, but I do think you have to make a decision. You know, Jesus says it this way. Y'all know. He says, if you don't bow down before me, I'll cut your head off. No, he doesn't say that. He does not say that. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I challenge you. God, I just thank you. And Lord, I just challenge each one of us today that this week we would try. That we would taste and we would see if it's better your way. So God, I just ask for courage. And God, you'd make us sensitive to the reality of the world that you said, God, I think sometimes we're blind. We really can't see. That you would open eyes, our eyes, the world's eyes, our friends' eyes. That you would open eyes that we would be able to see what's really going on around us. And Jesus, I just ask you'd give us all courage and boldness to choose you. To, by faith, choose you. And we're going to taste and we're going to see that you are good. God, I just thank you for each person, each family here, for how much of your life that we gave back and forth to each other this morning, everything that happened with the ushers in the History Makers class, in the nursery. God, I just thank you for everything. So if you'd like someone to pray with you, there'll be some people up here. We would love to pray with you physically. Anything in your life going on, we want to pray with you about, okay? And thank you for bringing your part today. Thank you for being here. God bless you guys.